Wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, and a good Monday to you. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, so week 11 of the National Football League is almost done. Mexico City tonight, Kansas City and the Chargers. You know, it's funny thing about the New England Patriots and their game against the Eagles, and you know you're a successful team when a win on the road against a pretty good opponent causes you some, Tom Brady in his press conference didn't really feel all that happy after a Patriots victory. But it's because they have a way of performing. And when you've reached that point, that's when you can sit back and go, man, my team is a success. The Patriots win 17-10, and the offense was pretty ugly. Right, Brady threw for just 216 yards, didn't have a touchdown. Julian Edelman had the touchdown throw. This was a road victory in the NFL, and this was a road victory, albeit even though the Eagles were 5-4, that's still a division leader. That's still going to give you a tough fight. And it was. It was a pretty good, it was a good back and forth battle. It was a short, the Eagles were shut out in the second half. But for the Patriots, it's not just about winning. It's winning a certain way. It's having a certain look. It's being efficient in everything. Now, some teams would say, look, it was ugly. We got some work to do. But my God, how great it is to get a victory. And yet for the Patriots, making them 9-1, right, with all of the attention on all these teams that are kind of emerging around the National Football League, what the talk is going on with Seattle and San Francisco, what Lamar Jackson is doing with Baltimore, it's still, this league is still revolving around the Patriots and their success or their non-success in certain games. A 17-10 victory in which your offense doesn't really look all that great is still a road victory in the NFL. Sure, do they have some things to do? Of course. Nobody, at this point of the season, there are teams that are playing where everything is clicking, but for the most part, you can nitpick everybody. But when you've reached a point where road wins are, we got a lot of work to do. Against the Eagles in week 11 to make you 9-1, that's a different level of success than a lot of teams that are just hoping to God that they're in the win column by the end of the day. More of week 11 around the NFL next, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Monday to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, week 11. Oh my goodness, it's going too fast. It really is. I love this time of year, but it goes so quick. It flies by. Like 11 weeks in Major League Baseball seems like forever. And then you get to the NFL, and it's like opening weekend, that Thursday night game to kick off the season. Before you know it, you're talking about playoff pictures.
No, in fact,
and
in
what
baseball,
they look like.
In baseball, you don't even know when 11 weeks happen.
Oh, I know.
Just
right.
All of a sudden, it's like, hey, we're 11 weeks into the season. Like, oh.
Oh, God, it's mid-June.
I'd have figured longer.
Yeah, right. So there's a couple of games I got to get to from yesterday that kind of like it's making me curious as to like where we're heading. And the first one is the Ravens. Because the Ravens and the Texans was the game. I got that locally, and I was real. I think most of you did if you were free in your CBS time slot.
Yeah, we got it.
You got it. We got it because Tennessee was on a bye. So if those of you may have gotten this, it was, and I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to watch this. I said, this is the game of the week. I mean, this is great. I mean, you look at like Eagles, Patriots. I thought this is the game of the week. I mean, these are two division leaders. The Ravens are playing the hottest football right now. Lamar Jackson is an MVP candidate. And you're settling in to watch this thing, and it is all Baltimore. It is all Baltimore. This was 41-7. 41-7 in the most anticipated game, I think, of week 11. Man, all right, I know the Super Bowl rematch between the Pats and Eagles was a pretty big deal. But to me, this one was – okay, look, Houston's playing pretty good. The Ravens are playing excellent, as we know. This wasn't even close. This got out of hand quickly. This was a showcase for Lamar Jackson. This now raises a ton of questions for the Texans because their offensive line was just could not handle the pressure. And poor Deshaun Watson's running around for his life. And it just opened up this conversation of like, okay, look, we know where the Ravens are. Now where's Houston? What do we feel about the Texans going into the remaining weeks of the season and also into the postseason? If they even make the postseason, who knows? But it puts Indianapolis back in the lead in the AFC South. It just opens up more questions about the durability of the offensive line. Deshaun Watson is playing as a MVP type of conversation. Not as strong as Lamar Jackson, not as strong as Russell Wilson, but he's done good things this season. This was a wash.
Yeah, it almost looks as if Deshaun Watson is a distant third right now.
Yeah, distant third. I mean, you got to look, it's a road game against one of the top teams in the NFL, but you got to show up for that. And look, I get it. It's really not his fault with the way the offensive line played. The offensive line was terrible. I mean, terrible.
They were sieve.
But that is the question. That was the question going into the season, right? It's why they traded for Laremy Tunsil. It's why they were all sorts of questions. It wasn't just on that side of the line. The offensive line really needed some work, but it really showed. And this is not the 2000 Ravens or by any means, but this was,
they looked
I couldn't
it.
Believe how good they looked.
I mean, Texans made them look like the 2000 Ravens.
Exactly. So
what was it, six times Deshaun Watson was sacked?
Yeah. They got to him. We were getting to him all game.
I mean, listen, there were moments where Watson was holding on to the ball too long, but.
Sure. And that does happen.
But
right?
But what's he going to do? I mean, he couldn't get a clear view. He's weaving in and out of linemen, 5 yards deep. There was nothing he could do.
That's right. So it was again. That was a tough one. Here's another team that won yesterday, and I think really didn't how they won or what they won. This is one of the more irrelevant games of the weekend. Was the Oakland Raiders beat Cincinnati 17-10? And the only reason this matters is the Raiders are 6-4, and they're tied with Kansas City as of right now. And the Chiefs will play tonight. But if Kansas City loses tonight, the Oakland Raiders are in first place in the AFC West. They've put themselves in a playoff position to try to get into this wild card race. They've got some manageable games coming up. They got a tough game against Kansas City at Arrowhead, and the Titans are playing a little better football right now. But John Gruden has done a very, very good job. And look, they should have beaten the Bengals. This is not unanticipated. This wasn't a shock. The Bengals are terrible and they're starting a rookie quarterback. But here we are, a Monday night football game where Kansas City, if they were to find themselves on the losing end of a game tonight, the Raiders are in first place. One other thought, we got a lot of thoughts coming out in week 11. There was one other game that was rather historic, if you will. The Minnesota Vikings came back and beat the Denver Broncos 27-23 after trailing at halftime 20-0. They rallied for the victory. Now, for the Vikings, that's a good win. It's 8-3, and it keeps them pace with everybody else in the NFC because, as we talked about last week, the NFC wildcard picture and the NFC divisional leaders are all they're almost interchangeable at this point, right? With you've got the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings in the north. You've got Seattle and San Francisco in the west. And so, if you're a mediocre team that's just kind of like, yeah, we're 6-4, you're looking up at two strong wildcard teams, regardless of how those two divisions play out. So if you're Minnesota, why give the people that are vying for a wild card spot or Green Bay an opening by losing at home to a Denver team that is just finding way to lose close games? And that is the crux of this game and what it means for the Broncos. Denver is 3-7, but if you look through their losses, you are going to find a lot of games that were one possession and a lot of times in which they lost that game in the final seconds, or there was something critical at the end of the game that changed the outcome or made it so, right? In this case, the Broncos had the ball first and goal and couldn't punch it into the end zone. We've seen the Bears kick a last-second field goal. Jacksonville kicked a last-second field goal. There were blowouts where they looked awful in Kansas City, in the Kansas City loss. The Colts game, they kicked a field goal. This Denver team is losing close games. Two sides of this that you can point to. One, does this mean that Denver is a good football team that just needs a tweak or two, something to build on that they can take with them into next season? So if you're a Broncos fan, sometimes a season you gotta throw it away. This might be a season you throw away, but of the losses that you're accumulating, man, they're close, and you're playing with these teams up until the final seconds. Or does it mean that Denver in the end can't finish? They can't find a way to close, whether it's giving up defensive penalties that cause teams to get closer for last second field goals, or they just don't have the ability to put up points enough to win games outright so that teams don't come back and beat them. There's two ways to look at it, right? And I think for Denver, rather than being in the gray area, I think it's a little of both. I think they're a good team that's got some good players, but quarterback is a problem. Joe Flacco is not the answer. Brandon Allen's looking okay, but he's not really the answer either. The defense is still okay. It's not as disciplined. It's getting better. Fangio's really putting him, Ed Tonatel's really putting a system in. But for Minnesota, as good as Minnesota is in the NFL, to have a 20-point lead and to blow that lead is really inexcusable. I don't care who you are. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care if you're a struggling team that's trying to find your identity. I don't care any about that stuff. Again, if you have a 20-point lead, you've got to find a way to close that out with a combination of being able to use your clock, get, just whatever it is that you've got to do, put up more points, whatever it is you got to do. You can't lose that game. I don't care if you're on the road. I don't care if you're playing on Jupiter. You don't lose that game. Now, for the Vikings, like we were saying, important in a way because there is a haves and have not situation in the NFC playoffs, right, when it comes to the division leaders. Somebody is not going to win the division between Dallas and Philadelphia, but the loser might not make the playoffs at all. Somebody's winning the North, and the loser might be in the wild card. Somebody's winning the West, and the loser might be in the wild card. And in the South, it is New Orleans and everybody else. But if you are a potential wild card team like the Rams, like the Eagles, then you have to look up at teams that are 8-3 right now, right? Or 9-2, whatever it is. You have to look up to them because you got to find a way to catch and close the ground, to make up ground. So if you're the Vikings and you're at home and you're playing a Broncos team that's vulnerable, you can't lose that game because then you just put yourself in that, you don't want to swim in that pond of these other teams that may come up and bite you in the playoff runs if you don't win the NFC North. So a lot more to get to coming up. The Colin Kaepernick situation and the story, we'll have that coming up later in the show because there's a lot of people who, I said this last week, your perception of Kaepernick is going to give you the lens in which you see this story over the weekend. But I wasn't shocked. We'll get to that and a lot more from Week 11 of the NFL next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So, we didn't get to, because we were on in the morning, we didn't get to the news on Friday that Myles Garrett was suspended for indefinitely. I always like that, indefinitely.
I know.
Anytime we want. And he'll appeal, but I hope his appeal is denied.
Oh, that's going to be.
Yeah.
I think the appealing is just, I don't know, it's almost like...
No, it's what you do.
Yeah, it's just like, I just want to appeal.
Yeah, you do it. You just do it. You just see what you can get. There's no crime in appealing. They don't add games to your sentence because you lost.
No,
you just
fact,
appeal
they
it
probably
see what happens.
It.
And yeah, every now and then you get a guy that will say, I'm not appealing that. Okay. But the league, the union wants you to appeal everything. right? Because they, you know, they their job isn't to support you, isn't as what you did, in as much as to protect every the idea of the power struggle, right? Like they have power, we have power. You appeal everything, so we maintain a little power.
Basically, they're appealing for all the other players.
Yeah, so, of course. Yep, exactly. Just to show, yeah, we're here. We're kind of behind
this.
We got
you back.
We're watching.
No, we don't want him to be suspended for that long, even though he deserves it.
Right. Especially when you're taking, like, whenever the league takes money away from a player for whatever reason, justified or not, the union has an obligation to just go, we're making sure we cross all the T's and dot all the I's if we're going to do that. And that's why they do it. But I hope it's denied. And I think it will be. So that was, that came on a Friday. I wasn't surprised how quickly they did it. It was a little like, I don't know. I thought it was going to be like on Saturday. Like they would be like, all right, let's take a full day talk. Let's do some interviews with some player people. Obviously, the video is enough, right? But I thought, well, let's make a few phone calls. Let's talk to the players. Let's get their story. Make sure we do it. And then let's throw down the indefinite suspension.
I was with you. I thought they were going to do it on Saturday just because, like, you know what? Why should college football have all this?
Yeah, why not?
You know, let's rain on their parade.
Let's do that.
I was surprised, though, however, with the like other suspensions and fines.
Yeah,
which are still in the process,
right?
I thought there would be, you know, once they, I guess Myles Garrett was easier to figure out.
Yeah, that was the easiest one because what they're saying is, look, we don't care why, we don't care what was going on, we don't care the conversation. The helmet to the unprotected head, using it as a weapon, is enough for us. We don't need an interview. We don't need to get your side of the story. That's it. But Mason Rudolph, you'd probably want to talk to him. Marquise Pouncey, you want to talk to him. You know, anybody else that was involved in the shoving and pushing, you probably want to make a phone call.
The linebacker whose name I still can't pronounce, Dobby or something like that.
Right. You can talk to him. So there's a number of different people.
I thought he's going to – I still believe he'll get a suspension if he hasn't already. And I think Pouncey will get a game or two as well.
The teams were fined $250,000.
Yep.
The Steelers
were. Doesn't that feel like a drop in the bucket though? For
nothing.
Like $250,000.
Take it
in cash or you a personal check? Okay.
Yeah, take it out of our TV rights check. You guys send us every month. But the league is looking into Rudolph's situation as well, because I mean he was trying to pull the helmet off. Now granted, I mean, look, you got to take issues separately. I know there's people like, well, then he got hit. You got to take issues separately. Was he, you know, he did get hit late, but he was trying to pull the helmet off. The league might punish the Steelers by making him play Mason Rudolph for the next 6 weeks.
Ooh.
That would be, I know, right? Ooh. Oh god, you know, that was the big thing coming out of that was saying, look, Mason Rudolph played so terrible, and nobody remembers. Nobody cares. Nobody's thought about that. Nobody's figured that out.
I bet nobody can tell. You can't even describe what any of the plays that happened during that game.
No, just a complete another. So close to turning that game off, too. I was so glad I didn't. So close. Just listening to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman go, whoa, wow, look at that. What's going on?
The one thing I can't stand is everyone going, I've never seen anything like this before. And, you know, That part bothers me. It's like, we've seen things like this. I mean, true. We haven't really seen a guy like grab someone else's helmet and swing it at someone and actually make contact. But we've seen people take helmets off. We've seen people throw helmets at someone. We've seen really bad fights.
Sure. Well, here in Nashville, where I live, the buzz was when Albert Haynesworth stepped on Gerard of the Cowboys, right? And what, you know, why they stomped on his head, stomped on his face. Or it was chest, whatever it was, just while he was on the ground. I mean, we've seen acts like this. It's a violent game, and it does have the mindset. One of the things, though, what came out over the weekend, and it was something you and I kind of touched on Friday, was people are writing things about Garrett, about how thoughtful he is, he's a smart guy, an intelligent guy, he likes poetry. You know, it's like trying to give you like this background of him. And will he become now just known for this? Like if he plays well, even if he plays decent enough, does he get known for this?
Well, that was the other end of it too. People are writing great soliloquies about Garrett, but at the same time, people are pointing out you know, all the dirty plays he's had just this
already,
season.
Already, yeah. Delaney Walker, right? I mean, he in week one, there was a number of other ones.
A late hit on Trevor Siemian that knocked him out for the season.
That's right. You
know,
that's right.
They're bringing up all these other things like, oh, you know, model human being, but seems to have a temper on the field.
Yeah. Well, look, think about Vontaze Burfict for a second, right? Like, if Vontaze Burfict used half of his salary every paycheck for a children's hospital, do we even
instead
care?
Instead of fines?
Right, instead of fines? Like, if we don't know these guys, but except what they deliver to us on the field on Sundays. We can get nice Chris Conley pieces on ESPN about, oh, this guy lost both of his parents in a car accident, and he was raised by an aunt that worked three jobs, and he had to study his schoolwork by candlelight because the electricity would go out. Like, you get all of these stories, and they're great and everything, but we still remember these guys for being football players. That's still the crux of their identity, is what they do on the football field. Now, occasionally you can break free from that and be known as a good player and a good member of society. Work Dunn has done that, where you know he's building houses, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of these guys, and I saw it in Denver in the 10 years I was there, had charities nobody really buzzed about, but did a lot of great work. You wouldn't meet people that said, man, if it was Brian Greasy, for example. Brian Greasy, who I think is a fantastic broadcaster, but when he had the unfortunate job of being the guy that followed the guy in Denver. He had to be the quarterback after Elway. He had to be the quarterback after the two Super Bowls. And he just couldn't live up to it. And he wasn't that great of a quarterback. They'd win some, but they couldn't win in the playoffs. He'd throw some picks. There were shots of him on TV where he would just be dejected after a turnover, and no teammate would even come to him to offer, their condolences or just to pep him up, to say, don't worry, we got this, we got your back. There was this, he never wanted to be at the podium. Like, always did his interviews at the locker room. He never wanted to stand up at the podium and talk. So he had this really unbelievable bad relationship with both the press and the media and the fans in Denver, because he wasn't John Elway. He had a place called Judy's House for domestic violence victims in Denver that was incredible, and hardly anybody knew about it. And it wasn't until he left that the local cartoonist drew a picture of Greasy leaving, and two fans saying, well, he didn't give us much. And there's a picture of Judy's house. He says, oh, but he really did. Like, nobody talked about this. Nobody. It was named after his mother. And nobody talked about this. Because why? What he did on the football field was his identity. That was it. And it's the same thing with Myles Garrett. You can write all the pieces about how thoughtful he is, and maybe he's charitable, maybe all of the things. Give me the background. Tell me his story. All of that. But he might go down as one of the most violent members of the NFL in terms of swinging a helmet at a guy in just one brief moment of rage, because we're so wired to that. And he could end up having a great career. He could help the Browns to the playoffs. But this is going to be big. This is going to be the thing that just carries over. It just becomes it just is on top. It's funny, though. You know what's funny? If you do good things on the football field, your stuff you do off the field, the charitable stuff you do off the field, tends to get more spotlight, right? Tends to be brought up. Oh, he's an MVP candidate, and he buys cars for needy mothers of single moms who don't have transportation to work.
Well,
right?
Look at the Walter Payton Humanitarian Award.
Sure.
Or, you know, the man of the, or whatever it's called. When you finally get down to the finalists, usually the three guys, they're perennial Pro Bowlers who do great things in the community.
Sure, exactly. J.J. Watt's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Of this. Great football player, great Pro Bowler. It's always sickening when he can't play because of injuries, because you love watching him play. Even when you're playing against him, you can just appreciate the way he plays football. Great humanitarian, wonderful work with the Hurricane, all of that. If he was a violent, angry player that was causing problems, you might not know that nationally. You might not know that in Seattle. You might not know that in Minnesota. You might know that in Houston, because the effect is there. But you may not care in New England that he's helping out people in Houston build homes after a tragedy. Right? And nothing, you wouldn't care. It's because the good football playing translates into the good off the field works, and the bad football playing overrides the good stuff you do off the field. almost it drowns out that noise because we get so angry at these players when they do horrible, horrible things like what Myles Garrett did on Thursday. Colin Kaepernick, situation, his workout, what went down Saturday, what we know and what we don't know next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. You can hit us up on Twitter with your thoughts on what went down in Week 11 of the NFL and the college games, too, over the weekend, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, and Ron with two N's, please. With football and basketball season in full swings, it's now time to get into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, BetOnline. And if you sign up today, you'll receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So you can start betting college and pro sports, every spread and every total, every winner or loser. You can straight bet, parlay, tease your way through the season, and even some wild proposition bets. Like who will win the NBA MVP? I wonder if they have a proposition bet if Colin Kaepernick is going to get a job. You can get the fastest market odds updates and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, BetOnline. Head over there today. Use your mobile device to join. Use promo code SBNation55. SBNation55. Receive your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. By the way, we'll say hi to Winter in Austin, who's back from vacation. Text me. I'm back.
Welcome back.
I said, did you get your wiper blades fixed? So get your wiper blades fixed.
Do we sing the Welcome Back Cotter song to her?
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Good vacation out in Denver. So, well, and just, again, get your wiper blades fixed because it's wintertime. I don't know if in Austin how chilly it gets, how cold it gets. But
do you believe Winter was living the high life out in Denver?
I wonder. It's funny. I had two. I don't mean to throw the accusatory tone here, but I thought it's worthwhile. I know a very nice young couple here in Tennessee. Really good kids. They moved here from Illinois. They both have pretty good, you know, good little jobs for them and whatnot. But they don't have any kids and whatnot. And they were talking about vacations and they were asking about, you know, different places. And they talked about Denver. And they said, "Hey, we heard you used to live in Denver." And I said, "I did. I spent 10 years in Denver. We really want to go to Denver." And I'm telling them all these places to go, right? Because I'm naive and stupid. They don't give a crap about the Flatirons. They don't care about Pikes Peak. They're not going to take the Cogwheel train up the mountain. They're not going to go to the Elitch Gardens. They're not going to go to the zoo or any of these other great places that Denver has. They didn't care about any of this stuff.
They're going to Denver
for one reason.
They want to go to a cafe.
That's
and just sit and enjoy.
So I was like, okay, all right, I'm sorry. I really thought you were going to go check out the Rocky Mountain High. That's a little different from what I expect. I apologize. But no, they had a really, really good time. So,
yeah, I wonder how many people just do that now.
Yeah, I think
go
a lot.
To Denver just to go, you know, experience the Rocky Mountain High.
Why not? I'm that's fine with me. If they want to do that, helps the Denver economy, helps my brethren out there. All right, so the Colin Kaepernick story got really weird, didn't it, over the weekend?
Over the weekend, I mean, through the week.
Yeah.
I really don't know what to make of it.
All right, so here is what we know. And let's get to what we know first. One, the workout for Colin Kaepernick was scheduled to be at Flowery Branch. That's where the Atlanta Falcons train. So it was scheduled to be there, and a lot of scouts went there on Saturday to work out. Now, before you work out for the NFL, and I don't care what it is, I don't care if it's locally for a team or whatever, you sign a waiver. And one of the details of the waiver is your injury situation. If you get hurt in this workout, that there is no liability on the league or the team that is working you out. And that is standard practice. So if you want to work out, this is what you got to sign. And most people sign it because that's what you do. So we know this. We also know that before Kaepernick arrived in Atlanta on Saturday, that the league was going to film this workout and told his people that they were going to distribute the video to all 32 general managers who are not going to be in attendance, and basically any team that couldn't afford or didn't have the time to send somebody to Atlanta to do such a thing. Kaepernick's people balked at this. They had problems with the waiver that everybody does sign or is standard practice for a workout. They also had problems with this when it came to the filming of the league. All right. Now, that is something that is understandable, but that was a point of contention. The other thing that Kaepernick did not want to sign was, and this was a little weird, there was a clause in the deal that said he could not sue the league even if he did not land a job. And they didn't want to sign that, and that is not a standard deal at all. That's not in the clause. Normally you get. So let's say you're a wide receiver looking for a workout. You go to a workout, or you're a kicker, for example, and you show up to a workout. You'll sign the agreement that says if I get hurt, the team isn't liable for this. I'm taking this as my own risk. But most don't. There's nothing in most of those workout contracts that you can't sue the league. There's really no reason for that. But there was in this one, and it was because Kaepernick has been litigious against this league. So I'm sure the league was protecting itself from any perception that Kaepernick was trying to prevent, saying it was a sham, it was all a PR stunt, it was to get me off of their radar, it's to claim they did do their diligence, they gave me the workout, and now I'm not signed. So basically they're trying to say, do this, but don't have any legal recourse. So here's a couple of things. Then, okay, because of the videotaping situation where Kaepernick said, I don't trust you, you're the league, you can manipulate this video any way you want, we want to film it ourselves, and oh, by the way, just at the last minute, we're not going to be doing it at Flowery Branch, we're going to do this at a high school that's about 60 miles away. And so everybody had to scramble to get there to go to the workout. All right, now we have some audio of Kaepernick in sort of a makeshift. It's long, but I want you to hear it. This is Kaepernick after the workout on Saturday at the high school in Atlanta.
Let me start by saying I appreciate y'all coming out. That means a lot to me. Our biggest thing with everything today was making sure we had transparency in what went on. We weren't getting that elsewhere, so we came out here. It's important that y'all are here. Y'all been attacked for the last 3 years. Y'all continue to be attacked. We appreciate what y'all do. We appreciate you being here today. We appreciate the work you do for the people and telling the truth. That's what we want in everything. I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people. We're out here, we're ready to play. We're ready to go anywhere. My agent, Jeff Nally, is ready to talk to any team. I'll interview with any team at any time. I've been ready, I'm staying ready, and I'll continue to be ready. And to all the people that came out here today to support, I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. To the people that aren't here, I'm thinking of you. I appreciate you supporting from where you are. We'll continue to give you updates as we hear. We'll be waiting to hear from Roger Goodell, the NFL, the 32 teams, will let you know if we hear from them. Ball's in their court. We're ready to go.
All right. Now, I said this last week, and it holds true today. How you see these issues and how you see Kaepernick is how you're going to view the news of what happened on Saturday. If you viewed Kaepernick as a guy that shouldn't be in this league, too much of a distraction, problematic because he knelt for the anthem, and all of the things that may have alienated you from a Kaepernick career, then you're going to view Saturday as a guy that was trying to make enough noise to not get a job in this league. They told him, here is the workout. This is unprecedented. We don't do this for everybody. We are giving you a workout in front of 32 teams, those who can attend, and we'll videotape it and send it to all 32 teams. This is not an individual, you working out for the Bengals or you working out for the Steelers. This is you working out for all 32 teams. You've asked for this, and we have gone out of our way to give this to you. And then you go ahead and you change the venue at the last minute, and you're still chanting about how you don't trust the league and all of that when there's plenty of opportunities for you to do what you've got to do in front of live people, right? If you think your skills are going to impress, then your skills are going to impress the people that are showing up. And there were a number of teams that were going to show up. And you change the venue. On the one other hand, if you are a Kaepernick supporter and you say, look, it's been too long. I still can't believe he just opted out of his deal after the 2016 season. All right. So the Niners were saying, look, we're going to go in another direction. And he opted out of his deal, became a free agent and never got a call again. Never got a phone call again. The Broncos were interested in him and then they weren't, right? All of these teams that were supposedly going to contact him never contacted him. There was a little bit of buzz early and then there was no buzz after that. If you're in that camp, then you're going to side with some of the things that Kaepernick's people said. One, no, we're not going to sign a waiver that says we can't sue this league. Two, we're not going to trust the league with that video. If they want us out of this league, they're going to manipulate the video to show the things that we're not doing right and the things that we are doing right might be put either taken off the tape or put in a different kind of context. However they were going to manipulate the tape, that's what they feared, right? But the answer to this Kaepernick thing lies somewhere in the middle, and most of us get this, which is, if Kaepernick was impressive enough, somebody will say, we're interested, we'll sit down and talk. You only need one. It's like what lawyers say about juries, right? I need one person to believe in our side of the story. I need one person that doesn't buy what the prosecution is selling. That's it. I don't need all 12. I need one. And that's what Kaepernick needs. He just needs one. He just needs one team, one guy, one person in the front office that's got a little bit of power to say, you know what? Maybe this guy does have abilities to help us, and maybe all of the things he's dealing with the league, I've seen and kind of feel, right? Not everybody in any corporation waves the flag of the corporation. No, but I mean, everywhere you can go anywhere that's a big franchise, right? If you work at a department store that's got multiple department stores, if you're a manager at a restaurant chain, if you're a manager, I mean, anything that's big, that's got a power on top and comes all the way down across the country, I guarantee you'll find managers, regional managers, vice president that will sit down with you with a cup of coffee and go, yeah, man, we're screwed up. Man, the CEO's doing this, the CEO's doing this. One time they did this, they're cutting benefits here. You'll find that guy. You got to look hard enough and get them to talk, but you'll find that guy. And that's what I wonder if what's going on in the NFL. He just needs one. He needs one guy to say, you know what, this guy got railroaded. This guy got railroaded and it shouldn't have happened. And now he's worked out and he looks pretty good. He's kept himself in shape. And you know what? He can help us. Whether he gets that or not is a different story. But what he's trying to do is find that one guy. What he believes the NFL is doing is trying to null the voices of any potential person that may voice out. So what he believes is, even if there is a guy, the NFL cloud is going to be so heavy on top of that person, he won't get a phone call. Now, I believe he will get at least one. I think he'll get one. I don't think he's going to get a bunch. I don't think this turned out to be the buzz and everybody saying how great he looks and how awesome he looks and now he can help. But the other factor is, in the end, what was this for? Was it to really be a starting quarterback? Because if it isn't, if it's just to get on a roster as a backup that maybe eventually could be used in a starting situation, this was way too much trouble. This was way too much drama. You want to find a backup, there's plenty of backups. We only have a few people that can play the position well, but there's plenty of people that can hold the position until your quarterback gets healthy. But if he was looking for that, if he was just looking to get on a roster, this might have been too much trouble. Because there is that in that thing you just heard, and the reason why I played it, even though it was long, there's still a level of defiance by him that would ward off a lot of teams to say, you know what, man, there sounds like a guy that is still bitter about this league and his situation. And while I may respect that, I have no idea what that means when he comes to my locker room. I have no idea what that means when he enters my team. While I can respect it and I can admire it and I can look on it in afar and say, yeah, some of the things you have to say about this company, yeah, I kind of agree with you. I'm in the inner workings and I don't think it's all apples and oranges and all peaches and apple pie. I agree with you. Yeah, there's probably some collusion here. Yeah, there's probably guys that don't want to deal with your sense of social justice. There's probably a lot of people that really couldn't care less about your issues and are mad about you kneeling for the anthem and don't want to answer to the fan base. But I'll tell you what, this was way too much trouble. Changing the venue, forcing my guy to drive 60 miles at the last minute, all just for a backup job. And the way you kind of talked about the league, I just don't think I need to bring it into my locker room. All right, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, at Ron with two N's. It is SB Nation AM. Your thoughts on that? We'll get more on the Kaepernick situation coming up next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And this hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So as I said earlier, I think there's going to be one team that might sit down with them. I don't know if he gets a job.
I don't know.
But I think one team will go, all right, we're interested.
But don't you get the feeling that if he came out in that press conference, was extremely thankful, showed any amount of humility, that his phone would probably be ringing a lot more?
Yeah. Yeah. There is this era that he does have this hubris about him that he's been denied an opportunity.
Which he probably has.
But there's a point where you have to just go, okay, look, if I want to really play, then this is how I'm going to play. This is how I'm going to get back in. Right? When he said, go tell your GMs not to be scared. I was like, well, nobody's scared. They just don't want to. There's a difference between scared and not willing to deal with the hassle, right?
Yep.
Like, a lot of people just don't want to deal with the hassle. There's a lot of teams that don't want to deal with the hassle that's coming. You know, that if they signed you, what it would bring. And like I said, that the way I kind of, you know, look, I understand where he's coming from. But if I was a GM and I heard all of that, I would wonder if he were to come to my team, is that the guy I'm getting? And is this worth it for a guy that I'm trying to, you know, bring in as a backup quarterback? I don't think the answer is yes.